Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Last fall, we talked with Angel Hope Publishing's Glenn Spillick about an upcoming project. Well, that project, the book Good Grief People, is now a reality, having been recently released. Glynis is on the phone with us tonight, along with Barbara Hege, one of the book's five contributors, to talk about the book and its formal launch that's going to be taking place early May. Glynis and Barbara on the phone to talk with us about Good Grief People. But before we begin our conversation with Glynis and Barbara, let's listen to Anthem of Praise from the Toronto Mass Choir CD, Made for Worship.
And you are Almighty God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Boundless and infinite, you deserve the highest
praise.
Eternal and measureless, perfect in all your ways.
Out of our conversation with Glynis Spillick and Barbara Hege. Good evening, Glynis.
Good evening.
Good evening, Barbara.
Good evening.
Now, Barbara, I want to start with you first because I've chatted with Glynis before and we've gotten to know a little bit about her, but let's get to know a little bit about you. What led to your love for writing?
Well, I wasn't a born writer the way often you hear writers say that. I actually was got more involved in dance. And more especially involved in modern dance. So I saw creativity and the creative expression of movement as my main guide. But I also moved that into writing, and as I did have a dance career and taught dancing, but as I did go back to school and got my Bachelor of Education and became a school teacher, and I had less time for dancing and energy, so that's when I began writing truly in earnest more. And I'm more a journal writer. I do fill notebooks with personal notes, but also research things that I'm reading or interesting things or quotes I hear. So that's what, I have years and years of journals that really have guided me. And it was when I retired that I thought, and that was 4 years ago, I thought, you know, I'd like to be a writer. And this little voice in my head says, then write. That's all you have to do to be a writer. It's not about being published, etc. It's just right.
Well, were you sort of over that time frame? I was looking at your bio, and you've written poetry, you've written plays and essays. Was there any one particular genre that kind of you were drawn to?
Well, I definitely have. Because I had such an open, creative way of learning through my dance, because it was modern dance with Judy Jarvis, who taught that way. She didn't teach a certain technique. So creativity and expression is where I went. So if it came out in words, that's how it came out.
Mm-hmm.
It chose writing. But sometimes it does come out in writing. Sometimes it comes out in other ways, too.
Sometimes writing chooses you.
Yeah. And it says I've aged, really, and had more time. Because writing is a more solitary act,
mm-hmm.
where you need time to contemplate things and write it down on the page and revise it and edit it. So I've done more writing since. But yes, I've always mixed. And our dance company that I danced in, we use spoken word often and storyline to drive the movement and the dances.
Well, as you were developing all of this, were there any writers out there that you started to lean towards as influences in what you yourself were doing?
Yeah, for sure. I became an elementary school teacher in 1989, and it was after that, when I didn't have as much time, that I got involved with a parent, actually, in my room, and she suggested reading Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way to me. And it's a workbook, really.
You mm-hmm.
way through it, and she gives you themes and ideas, and she's edging on your creative spirit and your creative energy and fueling ideas. But she gives you many outlets to do that in, like little homework projects at the end of each chapter. And that's where I really started writing in earnest. And she told you to, at the end, you made a contract that you were going to set a goal, make the steps for it, get a mentor, and actually follow through on it. So I chose writing at that time. But I also, again, had written many plays, that I was allowed to perform with kids at school. I worked a lot with my church as a lay minister and was encouraged to use dance and movement and spoken word and music as an outlet for worship. So I had always been able to do that and was just lucky, blessed to be able to do that and use it all along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my retired years, and my body's older and more tired, I don't as much, but I still do dance. But yeah, writing seems to be the bigger expression and form for me now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Glennis, I want to get back to you. And we talked about Good Grief People last fall. And at that point, you were sort of in the stages of putting the book together. Were there any surprises or challenges as you got to the element of completion of the book?
Well, it was very interesting working with six writers because, I mean, of course, when you write on your own, you're just dealing with yourself and your editor. But it was quite a challenge at times because, you know, we have six different opinions. But it was actually really interesting how it did fall together. Carolyn Wilker, one of the authors in the book, she was also an editor, so she was our prime editor. But what we did is when we wrote our stories, we submitted them to each other because we had a private group on Facebook, and that's what we did, or by email. And then we sorted our way through. We critiqued first. We gave, a little bit of input, because otherwise I think it would have been really overwhelming for Carolyn. But so that was kind of a unique experience for me. And also as a publisher, I'd never published an anthology before. So it came with some different challenges too, of course, working with different personalities, that's always good. But I think we did well, don't you think, Barb? I think we kind of,
I think we did.
We were very forgiving, and we took criticism pretty good, I think.
Yep. Well, that's part of being a writer.
Yes, it is, absolutely. Yeah. And I think having a teachable spirit is really important, and I think everybody worked well that way.
Yeah.
As far as other surprises, I learned that I'm going to change my program. I was working mainly in one program, and I've changed to another one, which is really helpful to me. So it was a good learning curve for me, too. So for formatting and working with my printer, too. And yeah, so it was a good experience, and I would definitely do it again. I would definitely work with these writers again if
mm-hmm.
you want to work with me.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah,
it was... It was a good experience.
What was it like for you once you saw the final finished product?
Oh, it was exciting. It really was. I've published many books over the years, but it's that same joyful feeling when you see your book, your words in print. And we love the cover of the book. My daughter Amanda is our graphic designer, and she did a wonderful job on the cover. And we've had lots of good comments on that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think it really draws a person in, and it speaks about the content, and Yeah, we had several reasons, and we talked about different ideas of why we're writing this book and what is actually going to be included. Do we just talk about grief as to do with death, or are we talking about broken relationships or, you know, financial situations? But we decided we're going to focus on grief as it pertains to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to get a little bit more detail into that in a couple minutes.
Sure.
I want to ask Barb the same question. Barbara, what did you think when you saw the book for the first time?
Well, it's always awesome to see a book in print in front of you. I mean, the actual shiny cover and crack it open and see it. It was exciting to see the table of contents and to see all the different ideas and approaches for me, because finally it was in a package. We always were just seeing it in different pieces as we revised and helped each other revise and edit before it finally went to the final editor, Carolyn. But so it was exciting to see that, to see how nicely it was packaged. And I really do believe there's a nice natural flow to it. There's a categories of grief in it, and I think that's going to be very helpful to the reader.
So I think as writers, it's important that we know our audience, and we had a little bit of challenge with that because our audience is people who grieve, you know.
Yeah.
So we wanted this book to come from both a faith perspective and for those who maybe don't have a strong Christian faith. So those are the kinds of stories that we tried to include.
Well, I want to get into some details on that in a minute. So I'm looking at time. We need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guests, Glynis Bellick and Barbara Hagee, both who have contributed to the book Good Grief People. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Come Let Us Sing from the Toronto Mass Choir CD Made for Worship. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with authors Glynis Bellick and Barbara Hagee. Just before we went to break, Glynis, you were talking about some of the elements of why you had written it and why the book had come together. How did you come to connect with the six different people that were involved in this? You know, yourself, Alan Anderson, Barbara, Donna Mann, Ruth Smith-Meyer, and Carolyn Wilker. How did all that come together?
Well, it was really kind of a neat story, and it's one of those social media stories. Ruth Smith-Meyer, actually, she had just recently lost her husband, and she was grieving, and, you know, we were kind of helping her, you know, supporting her. But she wrote something on Facebook that was so interesting. She said, and it really caught my attention, and she said something like, this is a paraphrase, but she said, instead of me focusing on what I've lost, and you know, of course she was grieving, so she was sad, but she says, I'm trying to focus on what I had, and that was 10 beautiful years with her second husband who had died from cancer. Her first husband had also died from cancer, so she was kind of reeling with this again. So I thought that was such a beautiful thing to say. So I made a comment, something like, Ruth, that is such a beautiful thing to say, and that sounds like good grief. I really think that's good grief. And so then we chatted a bit more, and I said, somebody should write a book and call it Good Grief People. And then there was silence on the other end, and then a few minutes later, Ruth wrote, and she said, let's do it. And I went, really? Mm-hmm. So it kind of blossomed from there, and Barbara was in on the conversation, too, because, Barbara, I can't remember, was it a year that you had lost your husband? When
yeah.
You
yeah, well, yeah. I wanted to get Barbara's view on this, too. Yeah, how did you get involved, Barbara?
Yes.
Well, again, as Glynis was saying, that they were on this Facebook site, it's a, and we were talking. It's a site that where Glynis poses a question or issue, and people are give a response. So it's an open, you know, dialogue and conversation mm-hmm. online. So I was there also when they talked, and Ruth said, "I'd love to do that, Glynis, but I don't want to do it alone."
Yes, that's
I
right.
Glynis
yeah.
put out, Barbara, how about you? And I said, sure. I had already been writing about grief because I lost my husband to cancer 4.5 years before. So I had a lot of things already written down, and it was.
You already had a book published too.
Grief. Yeah.
Yeah. On it.
Yeah.
So we knew that she had lots to say and mm-hmm. share, and we just felt the compassion in her voice too. So we asked Barb if she would join us, and then we needed an editor, and Carolyn Wilker had also, she had just lost a friend to breast cancer, I believe, and then her father was in hospice at the time with cancer also. So we talked to her, and she said she would love to be involved. And then who else was that? Donna Mann. And Donna is a pastor, and she's worked with helping people through the grief process and dealing with that. And she, of course, has had some traumatic events in her life. She lost mm-hmm. her daughters quite suddenly and when she was younger. And so that was quite a toll for her. But she said she would love to join us. And then Alan Anderson, who none of us really know, none of us have met face-to-face, but Alan lives in B.C., and he has just a wonderful attitude. He works in a long-term care facility. He's a pastor, and then he works with those who are dying, those who are grieving, those who are walking through the valley and going through their own journeys. And he just has such a wonderful perspective on seeing those people as his teachers. And we thought, whoa, that's such a wonderful attitude. So we asked Alan if he would like to join us, and he was more than willing. So he's been a great asset to this book, and, mm-hmm. and we get to meet him at our launch. He's flying in with his wife to join us at the launch. So we're pretty mm-hmm. excited about that. So that's pretty well how everybody got on board, and we were all keenness from the beginning. We didn't have to twist anybody's arm.
Well,
Barbara, Glynis was talking earlier about, you know, writing and looking at the audience who are writing for and that. What are you hoping that people are going to take away from the book as they finish reading it?
Well, I mean, going through it deep brief myself, I was hoping that it would be helpful to those who have lost someone or are grieving. And I think what was unique for me, I mean, I actually went through it without knowing what it was called, but the whole concept of anticipatory grief,
yeah.
of those who know that it's coming, who have been given a terminal diagnosis or a long-term, you know, disease or ailment, mm-hmm. that they know it's going to be a long haul that is going to end someday in death. So I think the book could, our thought was that was who it would be most helpful to, but often those are the people who don't want to look at it. They don't want to look at it face to face. They don't want to read about it. They're in their own pain. So I realized by going to a workshop one night on death, dying, grief, the people who came to that workshop weren't the grievers. They were those who were friends or family of the grievers who saw what they were going through and wanted to help them or understand at least what they're going through. And they were also many counselors and those who work with grievers. It gave them a new understanding. So I think our book is going to be for those people too, not just the people who are actually grieving. And we just had a recent review from a reader who said that she bought the book for someone who lost someone recently, but she read it herself. She didn't want to read it because she thought it was going to be depressing reading. But when she read it, she was uplifted and realized it was very meaningful and very special. And
that's what we had hoped for, wasn't it? We want that message of hope no matter what the stories. It's not a happy ending when somebody dies, but we all die, so there's no getting away from that. But if we can offer somebody an element of hope to get up the next day, then that's...
We would not have written it without that strong hope element.
Well, Glynis, I'm going to ask you the same question. What are you hoping readers are going to take away from the book?
Well, very much like Barb said, but also that the individuality of grief and their grief is okay, and it's okay if you grieve for 3 years or 3 weeks. You know, it's how you deal with it. And some people who have known that their loved one is passing away have already gone a bit through the grieving process even before that person, that loved one, has passed away. I've heard that, and I've been quite astounded by that, because you do. And sometimes we think, oh, you didn't grieve very long, but that's okay. And then somebody 3 years down the road will think, there's something wrong with me, because I still burst into tears when, you know, I hear a song or a special date comes up or something. But we want to assure people that that's okay. Everybody grieves individually, and there's no formula for grieving. And our book, that's what we tried to do, and we say that on the back of the book. I think that there's no certain formula for grieving, but we want to offer an opportunity for readers to know that they're not alone. So whether it's through, you know, the reflections, the faith reflections, or quiet poems, or contemplation about the poems, and, you know, supportive people, communities, families, we just kind of want to offer the reader that there's different ways that people grieve, and it's okay. That's a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if you don't mind me just adding to
that,
we wanted very much for it to be personal stories.
Yes.
Not us speaking as the grief.
Clinical,
person.
Yeah.
This is how to get through.
Right, exactly, that's what I was saying.
You're going to be fine. No, in fact, some of our writing did start out like that, and we've all said, no, we're sounding like the counselor, or, you know, like we have the answer. How did you handle your mother's death?
That's right.
How did you handle your husband's death?
And we want people to know that deep grief is a sign of deep love.
And we fumbled along, and,
yeah,
you know, it's just the same as all of us do. You feel lost.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to break in here because we need to take one final break.
Sure.
Then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Glynis Billick, the publisher of Good Grief People, and Barbara Hagee, one of the contributors. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Taking My Time from the Toronto Mass Choir's Made for Worship CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with authors Glynis Billick and Barbara Hagee. Glynis, there's a launch for Good Grief People planned for May 6th. Can you give us our listeners some of the details on when and where that's taking place?
Sure. It's May the 6th, as you said, from 1 to 3:30 p.m., and it's taking place at the Wellington Museum and Archives, and it's called the Aboyne Hall, A-B-O-Y-N-E Hall, and that's between Fergus and Elora. The actual address is 552 Wellington Road, 18. And we're going to be there to greet people and sign books. We're going to have a little bit of a program. Just the authors will say a few words each.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a light lunch, and we are really looking forward to lots of people coming and joining us for our official book launch. It's been a long time, because we published the book in March, and we really did want to do it earlier, but just trying to get everybody's schedules. That's another challenge with having six authors, and, of course,
right.
Alan being in... BC and getting him here, and his wife's an accountant, so she's been busy with taxes. And so anyway, this was the perfect date, so we're looking
it's
for
be exciting because it's the first time all six of us are together.
I know, yeah. in the flesh. So yes.
What you mentioned about the book being out already for a little while. What's the reaction been to the book so far?
Well, we are really pleased. Barb, do you want to answer that? You've got a bit of.
Well, we've had people. I'm happy that it's in just lay stores also. It's in Christian stores, but it's also in lay stores.
Yeah.
We've had a mixture of readers reading it. A lot of people are getting the book personally from authors at different events they go to socially, and therefore all of them, I think, have been surprised at how it's not, they expect it to be a depressing topic, but it's not. It's an uplifting book. It's a comforting book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal, it's like you're reading personal narratives, so it doesn't come across as an expert book.
Mm-hmm. I actually had one of the ladies who I wrote a story about, and she said, again, this is a paraphrase, but she was saying that how much she appreciated bringing her husband's story here and honoring him with it. She said, and I cried all over again. She said, but it was a good cry, really cleansing to hear that and to read that. So
yeah.
That was kind of nice. I like
because of such a variety of stories.
Yes,
different stories have spoken to different people.
Yeah.
Certain ones are saying more to them than others. But depending on their circumstances and what they're going through and what they're grieving for.
And we haven't
quickly, Glenn, I got to break in here because we're running out of time. Glennis, where can people find out more information about Good Grief People?
Sure. You can go to my website, www.glennisbelak.com. That's the Angel Hope website. Any one of the authors. Barbara, I don't know, do you want to give your...
Yeah, I also have information on my website, www.barbarahagee.com.
Books are available also on both amazons.ca.com and then many bookstores in Guelph, Kitchener, Waterloo.
Orangeville.
Orangeville, yes. Mm-hmm. And then in Drayton, I've got it in, I have a book boutique.
Yeah,
so there's quite a few. So you can get in touch with me, and then I can address if a person has a question as to where the books can be found. So.
Great. Well, Glennis, Barbara, thank you very much for your time tonight.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guests, Barbara Hickey and Glennis Belak. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.